Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1178. This is your host, Danny Pena, and it's only going to be me for this episode. No Pete, no Paris, but we're going to be back here after Thanksgiving, taking a short little break here during the holidays, and we'll be back. We have like so much content coming up, but a lot of you already know that I started working at G4, part of X-Play, a couple weeks ago, and the other day, I sat down during lunch. I sat down with a good friend of mine, Blair Herder. He is the Senior Vice President of Brand at G4. And we had a great conversation about the behind-the-scenes stories of everything that, how was it for him and the team to relaunch G4. And it was a great conversation. We talked about the past, present, and even about the future. So I'm gonna play that here only on Gamertag Radio. And again, this is the last episode before our holiday break. And we'll be back here after Thanksgiving. And there's gonna be so much more content. Plus, the Game Awards is coming up. We're gonna be talking about that. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. You can listen to all of our content there. And also you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just go right now and search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us. Hey, share with a friend. If you get the chance, if you're listening to this right now through the iOS device, hey, give us a review. That will help us out to get discovered. Also climb top of the charts. So make that happen. All right. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's talk with Blair Herder. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hi, Blair Herder, longtime listener, never invitee. Happy to finally be here. Husband of Jessica Chobot, most relevant. Father of Emerson Herder, secondary. Third, Senior Vice President Brand at G4. Why did I join G4, Danny, you ask? It's because I knew you would work here one day.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Just wanted to get in front of that first question. Happy to be here, dude, and doing this from our beautiful conference room in the new building.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. Yeah. You know what? Since I started working here, I always pass by to your office. I see you always smiling, man. Like, it feels like a kid again, right? Now that G4 is coming back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Danny, you and I have known each other for a while. Mm. And, you know, even before I took this job, we had talked about, you know, what G4 meant to the industry and, you know, what it meant to me and et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, when this thing started spinning up again, the lovely Rihanna joined first. Yes. And then we filled up the entire household when you came over. And, you know, we'd always talked about how much it meant to me. But I think what really kind of hit home, why things started getting really sentimental, why I started smiling more, was when we started to add people into the building, when I started to see all the content being made around here. I've seen now Jefferson and Emily, who, you know, on your team, mm-hmm. You know, post on their socials about, you know, I grew up with G4 and we just did our first thing on the X-Play set and I cried. I mean, may we all be so lucky to do something professionally that we love. I think that we could all be really fortunate if we just have that one moment. But for me, it's more than that, because what I get to experience here is watching other people do something that they've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that for me just is the thing that brings me the most joy. It's like, I'm doing what I love. Of course, like, it's G4 and I love gaming content. I've been doing this for 21 years now, even though I'm only 22. But to watch everybody else, people that grew up with G4, to watch the joy that they get is something I didn't anticipate, and it's become my favorite thing here for sure.
How long has been like the process of bringing this back? Because like, how long you guys been working on this for in the background?
Dude, we've been working on this for 719 years, and no, I think I told this story.
And how that came about? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I told this story at our G Forum when we all got together for the first time. Two jobs ago, which will set the table a little bit further, I met with a couple other people to try to get, I was running brand of content at IGN, and I met with some other people to try to get Linear or IGN on Linear. So can you just like give IGN a channel, like just moonshotting the shit out of it?
Yeah.
And the answer was no, of course, because why? But then like, hey man, but here's something crazy that we're thinking about doing. We're thinking about bringing G4 back. And so the very first time I had a conversation about G4 was the very first time I had a conversation about G4 coming back was probably 3 or 4 years, probably 4 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was like, you know, like anybody that ever worked at the last G4 would say the exact same thing, which was, if you're bringing it back, let me know how I can help. I wasn't talking about a job or anything like that. I was perfectly happy where I was, but you know, If we're going to bring G4 back, you know, all of the OGs like wanted to be a part of it in some capacity, just to make sure that like the train is on the right tracks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about 2.5 years ago, they called me up and it started to get serious and they were like, hey, we're going to do this. And do you want to be a part of it? And then, so we talked for about 6 months, 'cause I was just really aggressive in my negotiations, like Gordon Gekko from Wall Street. And hey, kids, that's a movie that existed before the remake. Look it up. But I joined the team in March of last year. So by the time this thing is launched on November 16th, I'll have been here. I'm not super good at math, but let's call it close to 2 years. And I think, I don't know what number I was, but I was definitely in the under 10 hirings of this place. And I remember distinctly my very first video meeting, because I walked out of my last job the day that LA shut down in the pandemic. So I literally started this job in my house like the other people there. I remember my first meeting with a couple folks. There was a whiteboard in somebody's background, and the only thing written on the whiteboard was X-Play. And at that point, that was literally the only thing that anybody had discussed about this network was, we should probably bring back X-Play. And so to watch that one word on a blank whiteboard turn into this has been truly one of the greatest joys of my career.
And when was it that you felt like, okay, this is real? Was it filming the reunion special? Was it coming to the building for the first time? Like, when was that special day for you?
I mean, that reunion special for me was, I don't know if that's when I thought that it was real, because for that reunion special was so surreal. Like, we've all kept in touch. But we hadn't all been in the same room, you know, in like 7 or 8 years or whatever it was. So I think that was very much, I thought, a moment that, you know, from a marketing perspective, was a great beat for us to like really get the, you know, get the flame relit. Mm-hmm. But I think for me in that moment, it was very much a love letter to the fans. And honestly, selfishly, it was also like a moment for all of us to just get together again, like a good excuse for us to get together. Mm-hmm. I think when it became really real, like, make no mistake about it, as you know, you've been here about a month now, like this is the hardest job I've ever had. Like, building something like this from the ground up, nothing can prepare you for this. Mm-hmm. On top of that, doing it during a pandemic, I mean, there's no use case for this in anybody's career, right? So it's always felt real insofar as it's a hard ass job, and I know it's a thing that's real, but, and I've watched this building, like, it's wild to sit in this conference room. I was in this building before they even started doing the demo to tear it down, to rebuild it. And so to watch this building kind of transform was really when it started to solidify for me. And then the very first day that I came here, I came to work, which was a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I remember standing in the parking lot and they had just started to paint the G4 logo on the outside. And I just cried for like 5 minutes. Wow. And that for me was like, this is really real. And then when I crossed the threshold, you know, it's like, okay, we're here. And then that was a big moment. And then a couple weeks later, you guys all moved in. And the first sketch I saw somebody shoot here was like, wow, this is, this was, I've worked on plenty of, you know, I've done 1,000 hours of television at this point. So I've been on other sets since G4. Mm-hmm. But to see a, spoiler alert, comedy sketch being shot like while other people are fucking trying to do work and watching people be annoyed because they got to be quiet at their desks because we're kicking like Dovahkiin in the balls, is that for me was like, oh, the G4's back. Like we're making G4 again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, for me, when I got like a little bit like, man, it felt good about it was when I'm not going to say what was it we were recording, but seeing our first interview that we did on set.
Yeah.
That was special. Not only to us, the team, but also the developers that we were interviewing too. They were like, oh my God, we're honored. Like, we're the first ones. Like, yeah, this is legit. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Now, but let go. You were going to say something?
I was just going to say, it was so cool that you guys got Gabe Newell and Phil Spencer and Rod Ferguson and Reggie Fils-Aimé in the same room. Like, what a rad interview for you guys. That was incredible. First get. Oh, wait, we're not supposed to talk about that. Sorry. Yeah, you probably edit that out, right? It's fine.
Nah, but let's talk about the challenges. One, working on this during the pandemic. Oh my God, I can imagine how difficult it was. And also, nowadays is a lot different for you guys because now there's Twitch, there's YouTube, digital form, right? And and now also we're going to be focusing on TV. Mm-hmm. How's it been like the challenge with that too, to have the content also on digital and on TV?
Yeah, I'd say that doesn't feel very challenging at all because I think good storytelling is good storytelling no matter where it lives. And I think that, you know, it's just as easy or hard, depending on how you look at it, to tell an amazing story in 30 seconds on TikTok as it is to sell an amazing story in 7 minutes on a segment of television. So I don't think the challenge necessarily lies in where the content's going to live. I think you see that also. You can mitigate a lot of those difficulties, if you will, by the people that you hire. And I think you look across the board, like the young lady holding the camera over there, you know, like I'm never going to be as good at TikTok as she is because she grew up making TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. You have to trust in the people that come in to make content for the places that, you know, that we're in. I think the biggest challenge, honestly, was for me personally, I can't speak for other people here. I knew that I had an opportunity. Like when you get to a certain point in your career and you become somebody who gets to create teams and offer opportunities, I knew that I had an opportunity to come in and open the doors for people at G4 that maybe weren't there the last time around. And that meant, you know, people that don't look like me, people that, you know, don't have the same beliefs as I do or whatever the case may be. So for me, what was most hard about doing that in a pandemic was because I had to go outside of my network for that. Right. Like I had to go and find people that aren't in my life, that haven't been a part of my career path. Kendall's like very close to me right now, but I'll reference her. Mm-hmm. You know, I never met Kendall before. Right. We were familiar with her work. She sent a video in G4 Needs Talent. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to hire Kendall during this process, but we never met in real life. And so that's hard, you know, because normally you get to a certain age, you know, you're a young man too, only 24. You know, we're so used to hiring our own people.
Yes.
And bringing your own people along for the ride. For me, knowing that this place needed to be full of vibrant, young, hungry creators that I was when I started at G4, mm-hmm. I had to go outside of my network. And that for me was the hardest. It took a while to build the team. You know, and I love the team that we have. The only person that I brought in that like I really was just like, I got to just have one person from my network. Like, who is the cheapest person who will literally do whatever I say, who's like reasonably good at their job, but if they mess up, that's okay, was this guy Dave Welch. But other than Dave, I knew everybody else. I didn't know anybody else. And so that was hard, man. You know, it was just hard to build this team and during a pandemic.
It's different while working, you know, remote, but then you see people together at the same place in person. It's a totally different vibe, man. And I feel like we've been even more productive.
Mm-hmm.
We could also come up with more ideas, and it's easier to communicate with people. But totally. When it's everything like remote, yeah, you're right. It's very, very challenging.
Yeah, and it's also hard to get. It's hard to get a vibe from people over a Zoom call. Everybody feels a different way when they're talking to somebody for the first time. I'd like to think I'm a very open, accessible person, but I also know what it's like to be on a job interview, right? And like, you just kind of have to trust that. Even if the conversation you're having, at least from my end, isn't necessarily what you were hoping to get, mm-hmm. you just have to try really hard to see the potential in the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And any hiring manager in this scenario right now, I'd say, is you got to go that extra mile. You got to give people the chance to be nervous, to maybe not have a good first conversation. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I'd like to think I did that, and I'd like to think that the team that we've built, mm-hmm. you know, when we finally did come together, I think everybody gelled immediately. And I think that, again, is just, you know, a testament to me just taking longer than I ever have before to build things, because you're in a pandemic and you should be patient about this stuff. Yeah.
Reading online when G4 was announced, people were super excited, especially like the old school heads, right? Like, oh man, they're going to bring back so-and-so, right?
Yeah.
How hard is it also for the new generation that never grew up watching G4? How are you guys going to keep that balance of like keeping the old fans happy and also the new fans?
Yeah.
For them to become a fan of G4.
Yeah. Well, look, Adam Sessler is an immortal being, right? Like, Adam Sessler has always been 91 years old. Adam Sessler was born a 91-year-old baby.
Yes.
And he will die a 91-year-old man. He's always just been 91 years old. So I think there's like a living embodiment of the bridge between generations that we already have in Sessler, which helps. But really, I think the answer is comedy. Comedy's universal. Humor is universal. And obviously, we cover the things everybody loves, gaming, pop culture, tech, you know, all of those things. But, you know, the people that came to G4 the last time around, I obviously, we were one of the first people to just talk about these things. So we had that advantage. But I do believe the majority of people that came to the old G4 came because of our take on things. Mm-hmm. And that take hasn't changed. We still view everything through a comedic lens. We like to have a good time. We take the piss out of stuff. Like, we have a good time with things. Mm-hmm. And, but somebody said this, I think it was your boss, Michael Leffler, who started as a PA on X-Play, by the way. And all these years later, he's now running X-Play and one of the heads of franchise for this entire network. So dream big, kids, and never give up. I think he said something in our big G forum where he's like, we are either expert idiots or idiotic experts. We know more about this than anybody else, but we don't have to be fucking serious about it. If you need an informed take, we have it. But we're not trying to like beat you over the head with how smart we are about these things. We want to have a good time too. And that to me is like either, and again, idiotic experts or expert idiots. Like, that's a pretty universal thing. Like, my kid is 8 and he thinks farting is funny. And we did a video explaining G4 XP, which you guys will learn about at some point. And there's a fart joke in it, and adults laughed at farts too. So, you know, awesome. Comedy's universal.
Now, there are also going to be new shows that wasn't available in the old G4. You want to talk about that and how you guys came up with those ideas?
Like, yeah, so we found this this group of sisters, Armenian sisters who live in Calabasas. Marchassians or Partassians or something like that. But anyway, we're going to follow them around and just see how that goes. Feeling good about that one. Think that's going to be a breakthrough hit. Beyond that, though, yeah, I mean, look, esports wasn't really a thing. Competitive gaming has always been a thing. You and I probably grew up, you know, playing our friends in the neighborhood. Like, we were doing Street Fighter 2 on the NES in a competitive fashion, but esports is, you know, has become certainly a different category. So, you know, something new to the G4 universe is Boosted, the esports show that we have. Invitation to Party, D&D has become a massive global phenomenon thanks to great people like Critical Role. So, you know, our version of D&D, though, involves a lot of improv comedy. Like, we built an improv set inside of a D&D set. So that's a very exciting opportunity for us. And then, of course, X-Plane Attack of the Show coming back. And then a lot of things that we haven't announced yet, right?
That's like, the part I'm excited about.
It's very, very exciting, right? And that's some of the things that, you know, I think you're aware of this. Mm-hmm. We have to constantly tell ourselves we're all rushing towards November 16th. Mm-hmm. But like, G4 doesn't begin and end on November 16th. Mm-hmm. On the 17th, we're going to do a show. On the 18th, we're going to show. On January 2nd, we're going to announce a new show. In March, we're going to debut something else. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff in the pipeline that I think, you know, we're really excited to talk about. And I guess the big one that I know we've kind of talked a little bit about, and we're just starting to do press on it now. Again, have no idea how that Dave Welch guy got that press, because, you know, he's like this. But, you know, we've announced that show in partnership with the WWE, hosted by WWE superstar Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, King of the Ring / G4 host, or whatever Kendall landed on in that social video. You know, that's something coming out next year. And then we have a lot of things around that.
Yeah.
As well. So we think by the end, I mean, look, we're doing, I want to say on Twitch and YouTube, we're going to be streaming about 30 to 35 hours a week of original programming. And then that'll turn into about 12 or 13 on linear. That's a lot of real estate, man. That is more original content than G4 had in the past. On top of that, G4, even at day one, we'll be in more homes than G4 ever was. And by the time we end our first year, we'll be in at least twice that many homes. So we got more homes and more real estate to do cool shit.
Now, I remember talking to people when I announced, like, hey, I'm going to start working at G4. A lot of them said they used to watch G4 in Latin America, like the old G4, because they had cable over there and everything, right? Do you see G4 as like a more like a United States thing, or this is like a global thing now because of digital, like Twitch and YouTube?
Yeah. I mean, look, dude, look around you. Of course, we're clearly a global brand.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, look at the people that work here. Look at the people that make the look at this interview, right? Like, I think we'd be doing a disservice to the people that are bleeding and sweating to build this thing if we didn't try to put it everywhere. So, and I think we've been a kind of open, and Dave, you know, you can look back and probably tell me I'm wrong here, but look, it's North America in year one, but Latin America is like either year two or year three. I mean, it's, you know, the plan's to be everywhere. Australia is another. If you just kind of look at the heat map of video game sales, you know, you can kind of see where we're going to go, right? Because I think games, as much as we're going to do a lot of different things, I think gaming's always going to be most people's entry point into G4. And so we want to be everywhere. Like, I, you know, you're friends with people at Xbox, so am I. Like, I've done plenty of Xbox marketing campaigns. And you don't just do it in the U.S., right?
No.
Forza recently is a really great example. I think they dropped a dude in a car out of a plane in Australia. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be a global brand. But again, not just for business reasons, but I look at the people around us. Like, your take is very different than my take, is very different than Kendall's take. Like, I want to make sure we're making content that speaks to you, your beliefs, your friends, the way you grew up. You know, we should be doing that for everybody.
You know what's exciting? While working here, I see you come by, like, the past few days, you're going to say, and you will be like, nah, I don't want to know anything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I want to be surprised for launch day. Why is that? Why is that so important to you?
Yeah. So first of all, as the head of marketing, I know how to market the shows, you guys. I just don't want to know what's in the first episodes. Yeah. No, look, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there aren't many people in the world that are as excited about G4 coming back as me. And I want this moment to be just as special for me as it is for all those other people. So obviously I know when things are airing, and obviously I know enough about the shows to market it the right way. But that first episode of X-Play, I want to cry the first time I hear Adam Sessler say, "Welcome to X-Play." I want to be upset about the review score that you gave something that I don't agree with. Like, I want to be a fan, man. That's why I came back. I had a great job before here. I came back because I'm a fan of this place, and it's easy at this point, or I mean, I guess collectively be almost my seventh year at G4 all in. It's easy at a certain point to forget why you came to a place, even if you came to it because you loved it. And I don't ever want to lose sight of the fact that I was a fan of G4. That's why I left MTV. That's why I moved back from New York to LA to join G4 the first time around. It's why I left my last job to come here, because I'm a fan. And like, any moment I can create for myself to be a fan, I'm totally going to take advantage of that.
You know, very quickly, I know we were having a conversation. This was like a while back. We were having a conversation about how was TV back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Totally different crowd.
Yeah.
And I remember we were talking about, like, man, seeing that mob of people just waiting outside of TRL. Mm-hmm. If there's like a big guest and something like that. Do you see something like that for G4, like just the fans being excited outside so-and-so is going to be here, or maybe in the future a big, huge event? Like, do you see that happening? Because I feel like it's really hard to pull something like that now, and nowadays with just TV in general. Do you see something like that for?
Well, look, I've been to VidCon a lot over the years, and, you know, I've seen the big YouTubers, and I see the kind of draw they have. Look, I worked at MTV during the time you're talking about.
Yes.
Like, I worked at MTV when NSYNC, Kids at Home, that's a band that used to make music and break records because they were so big. But I remember when NSYNC launched No Strings Attached, like, there were a million people in Times Square. I were seeing that, like, in the K-pop space, but, like, there's a level of fandom there when one group owns an entire category, like NSYNC did. I don't know if we're going to see that anymore, because I think that, like, just there's more disparate kind of areas of fandom. But what I do think will happen again, I worked with Carson Daly, who most people of a certain age only know Carson is kind of the dad on in Good Morning America or whatever he is now. Mm-hmm. But I remember Carson when he was like, you know, painting his nails black. But Carson was, you know, Carson was a superstar. And when we would leave the building and we'd go down to the street to drink, you know, at a bar or whatever, and definitely don't do drugs, just only drink, Dave. You know, I'd walk down the street with Carson and like people would be like, yo, Carson, this is crazy, whatever. So from a talent perspective, when I was at G4, my first year at G4, my first Comic-Con at G4, I walked the floor with Morgan Webb and Olivia Munn, mm-hmm. and they got the same love that Carson did in New York. So mm-hmm. I think that there's a world in which the G4 talent can become that to people, can become such a meaningful part of people's lives that they want to be around them. Mm-hmm. A world in which, you know, a million people shut down Times Square so that a bunch of dudes in frosted tips and questionable dressing habits can, like, drop an album. I don't know if that's the world we live in anymore.
All right. Do you want to talk a little bit about president of G4, Russell? Because she seems very, very, very cool, very nice. I like talking to her a lot. And even during our meeting, that was it was really cool, her, like, talking to the team and everything. And she's very, very excited about the launch. So you want to talk? Because she wasn't around with the old G4, you know?
And totally. Yeah. So hold on. Rihanna's texting me. I hope it's nothing important. Okay. I think we're good. Yeah. So Russell was not around during the first G4. And Russell, you know, I love Russell. I'll say that. Like, when you get to a certain point in your career, you'll hit a certain level of, like, of salary that, like, your salary floor is all you need to be comfortable in your life. Anything beyond that for the rest of your career is just gravy. So I hit that a while ago. So for me, it's always been about who am I working with and who am I learning from? And the thing that I value the most about Russell, you know, Russell only came on like 5 or 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago now, Dave. It was about a couple months ago. Look, at that point, if the tracks hadn't already been laid, we were right. So like G4, the train had already left the station at that point. Mm-hmm. Russell, what I value the most about Russell is Russell came in and knew what she didn't know, asked a lot of questions, listened to the people that have been here, that have been putting things together. And then because she is such an expert in like oversight, right? You get to her level, you're just really good at like taking a look across the entire playing field and being like, okay, third base is like 2 inches off. And the shortstop over there, I think if they were to just turn a little bit to the left, they can save 2 seconds on their throw to first or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Russell did a great job of looking at a machine that was already in motion and like tweaking it and fine tuning it. And for me in my career, where I'm at right now is I feel pretty good about the things that I've come up doing, creating content, marketing, social, comms, all the stuff that I get to do here. My next step is learning how to take a 30,000 foot view and like see the leaks, the little tiny leaks that nobody else sees. But if you plug them, big things can happen. And that's what I think Russell, at least to me, that's what she's shown she's good at. And that's the stuff I'm excited to learn from her with. Also, G4 is a female president, that's which awesome like can't too. Be understated. Like that's a... It says a lot about the... It's weird for me, right, for two reasons. One, because I was raised by my mom. So I've never known a world in which, like, a woman wasn't in charge of me. Then I got married, and that's also the case. Also, for me, like, 6 of the 7 mentors and bosses I've had in my life have always been women. So, like, my experience is very different than what the world is used to. That being said, obviously the world is not the way that I came up. I was very fortunate. I think that what this version of G4, and you and I have definitely talked about this, like what was important to me when I joined the company, the first version of G4 was, I think, the first time that people saw the things that they cared about for the first time on TV and the stuff that they love for the first time on TV. When I joined, one of the more important brand things for me was making sure that people saw people that looked like them for the first time on TV or the first time, you know, on the internet, talking about the things they care about. And, you know, we want to create a place that not only people obviously want to come to because the content's great. And again, they identify with somebody that they're seeing on camera, like, oh my God, I've never seen, you know, somebody from Puerto Rico, like talking about video games on TV or whatever it is for people. It's also, it should be an aspirational place for people to work. And I think what I'm what Russell brings to the table that you cannot possibly overstate the value of is there's a lot of young women that are going to be watching our content. When they find out that a woman runs this place, that is going to be such an incredibly powerful thing for them. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, as much as I can try my best, and hopefully the people that work for me like me, tight, she's nodding. Mm-hmm. That isn't something that I'll ever be able to provide for Kindle.
Yeah.
Right. That's just like, we're not going to have that connection point. And so that stuff feels good, man.
How was getting, you know, WWE involved with G4 too? Like, was that a very, very difficult thing from back in the days working on it? That took a while. That was something like, you know what? Let's do it.
No, dude. I mean, look, we had our secret weapon is Brian Twilliger, who you should definitely talk to at some point. He's our head of programming and creative strategy and talent and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And Brian and I worked together at the last G4. And then Brian went back to WWE. I went over to, like, I went to a marketing agency for a long time. Then I went to IGN. And then I went to this other place, Advancer, and came back here. Every other place I've worked, Brian and I have done something together. Like, I love the WWE. And I've always, any video game stuff I've ever done, I'm like, let me get the WWE involved. So for us, it's just become this running joke. Like, how do we just continue to get the WWE involved in, like, every place I work? And when I called him and I was like, hey, man, do you want to join G4? I remember very specifically, Brian was washing dishes in his kitchen. Like, I remember specifically, I FaceTimed him because I want to see his face. I was like, hey, G4's coming back. Do you want to be a part of it?
Yeah.
The very first conversation we had after he was like, yeah, that sounds, yeah, why wouldn't I come back to G4? Was like, how do we get the WWE involved? And so I wish I could say it was hard, but honestly, dude, they were super on board, like, immediately. Because we know a lot of the same people there. Brian was there forever. He was an executive there. Mm-hmm. So it was easy, dude. But beyond those personal relationships, I also think, like, the WWE, one of the biggest brands, not in the world today, in the literal history of entertainment, they see the value in G4. They see the opportunity we have to be a defining voice in the space that we're in. Mm-hmm. So they also, from a business perspective, are like, yeah, we should partner with them.
Yeah.
Like, they have some real potential there. Mm-hmm. You know,
I could imagine the type of content between both G4 and WWE will come up. I'm a huge wrestling fan too, so I'm like, oh, I can imagine that.
Dude, we got it. We're gonna shoot stuff at WrestleMania, so we're gonna get you out there.
Oh, let's do it. I've been there multiple times. I love it.
Yeah.
One of the questions I wanted to ask is, like, 50 years from now, grandkids, they do research about you and about G4. What is that you want people to remember 50 years from now about just G4 in general and about you?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people think I was a good dad. I think that's the most important thing. It's one of those things, like, to be honest with you, dude, if people are ever going to know me for what I did professionally, I think my legacy, and I have no issues with this whatsoever, it makes me so proud. My legacy will always be attached to my wife, right? Like, in this space, like, my wife is one of the, for those of you that don't know, like, my wife is a trailblazing woman in this space and is still at the top of her game to this day. So I think my legacy will probably be a little bit attached to Jessica. But I think for me, it's, you know, I'd like to think that what I'm getting a lot these days at 41 is, you were on camera talent. You were doing the stuff that we all want to do. And then you did that. And then, like, you took a left turn and then you went into this space. And the reason I did that was because I felt like I had been handed just a beautiful life and way too much opportunity than I deserved and could ever possibly use. And I wanted to use that opportunity to go make more opportunity for other people. And so hopefully when it comes to my personal legacy is that dude opened some doors, you know, that guy set a standard, you know, we have a responsibility, and this is not some talking point. Why you guys have a responsibility to change, like, my generation of white male leaders, we are the ones that are going to set new standards that will open the doors for other people to come in here. I think I'm not an ageist by any means. I'm 41 years old, but, like, that may be, there's always going to be outliers, but I think generationally that stuff has already been set. I think we're the people coming into positions of authority and decisions right now. Mm-hmm. And we are the people that need to really, really carry the responsibility of making a difference. And so hopefully my legacy is that I was one of the people that was aware of that, that took it very seriously, and that acted on that responsibility.
100% agree with that, man. And I have to say this, like, I've been working here for a couple of weeks, and I just love just how diverse the company, like, there's so many different people that work here.
Yeah.
And even the talent, like, seeing the shows are being announced on social, like who's going to be hosting and everything. Yeah. It's beautiful to see all types of different people there, man. Like it's I'm very, very proud to be working here, man.
Yeah. So that dude, see that right there is why that makes me happy. Like, and it, I think it's easy to put talent. It's easy to make the talent decisions because like even the most horribly closed-minded person in the world can still understand how valuable it is to make sure that the people representing the brand is as diverse as possible because you want to hit all of those markets.
Yeah.
I think that the real change is happening with the people that are behind the scenes. And what makes me happy, dude, is hearing you say it, it's this, like the diversity to the staff. Cause nobody knows who the staff is.
They don't.
We could hide, you know, those decisions didn't need to be made on the staffing front. It could have been full of a bunch of people who are exactly the same, but that's not the case here. And so that to me is like, I'm very proud of, cause I'm not the only person on the leadership team that thinks the way that I do. Like all of my peers think the exact same way. It's like, dude, we need every voice represented here so we can make the best possible stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm very, very proud about that. Well, Blair, I just want to say, man, thank you so much. I know you've been, you have a crazy schedule. No. And thank you for taking your time for being on the show. And
dude, this is amazing.
Yeah. And next time, hopefully we'll record next time while having drinks.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've been drinking all day. So
let's do it.
All right, brother. Thank you, Danny.
All right. Thanks a lot.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, man. Shout out to Blair. That was a great conversation, man. I had a blast recording that interview. Great, great, great conversation. Shout out to the whole team over there. I can't wait for launch. And make sure to, for more information, go to g4tv.com to learn more about the network, where you can watch, and also the type of content that we're going to be releasing, man. So stay tuned for that, man. All right, everyone, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening. And again, we're taking a short break. We'll be back after Thanksgiving. This is the last episode until the after the holidays. We'll come back and just talk about gaming in general. I know the nominees of the Game Awards is coming up. I would like to have a great conversation with P and Paris about that, our predictions and everything. And yeah, after that, also Halo Infinite is also coming out around that time. So we can have content from now and December. All right. So we'll be back here next time. Stay safe. Enjoy the holidays. Take care, y'all. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.